You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Melora Griffiths. Melora, thanks so much for talking with me today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So, Melora, you're in Manhattan. You're in your studio. We're going to talk about your work and what you're working on now. Before we jump right into your paintings, which is what we're going to talk about, just what you're making and perhaps a recent show, is there any other aspects of what you're working on now that you want to talk about?
Recently I've had sort of a multi-disciplined approach to my making, because I came from like a performance background, and I sort of did the painting on the side, and then that sort of took a front seat over the years, and painted quite a bit for many shows. And recently, in the last couple of years, I have been thinking about sort of coming away from the canvas in a certain way with different mediums. And for the last show that I had in November in Stowe, Vermont at 571 Projects, I did quite a few pieces that have applique. There's mixed media sort of sewn onto the canvas. So that's been a new element that's slowly creeping in.
Mixed media? I mean, like sewing onto the canvas or moving in that direction is what's new?
Yeah, and also sort of pronouncing or emphasizing certain areas with almost a stuffed pouch. The whole sort of idea came from this word bundle, which I can talk more about, but there's I'm looking at two pieces right now in my studio. One is called Train Wreck, and the other is Lifeboat, which actually named it the German name for lifeboat, which I can't pronounce. It's like Lutenboots or something. But in the Train Wreck, there's a two figures holding up a sheet, but the sheet is sewn on. It's the only thing that's sewn onto the canvas, and it's got a little bit of stuffing behind it. It's sort of hard to describe, but it comes away from the canvas slightly. That part where the sheet is.
So let's talk about the two paintings in your studio, because kind of, without knowing much more about them, just the title sound like content you've dealt with before. May involve accidents or difficult situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's start with the first one. The first one where you're talking about Train Wreck, was that the title of it?
Yeah.
And how big is that one?
It's actually sold, and I took it back from the collector to mount it. This is like, I think it's like 40 by 30, something like that. And it's on, I also started working, because of the needle and thread not being easily going through canvas, I started working on muslin, and I sort of did this sort of study about muslin, which is like it's the first fabric. It's raw, and I like how that analogy of a person, a being. You know, I'm more interested in the metaphysical or spiritual kind of other layers of where my work is coming from. It's coming from a different kind of communication, I would say, like, than so literal.
So let's go into that a little bit. So tell me, I mean, the painting that you're remounting, what is that imagery and why that imagery? Because that seems almost message-oriented. That's an unusual thing to want to capture and to share.
Yes. Well, I think there's some humor in the darkness. I guess I paint what I see, you know, certainly when I'm working from life, but I paint what I see sort of in emotion and in situation. I mean, certainly the political climate right now is, has a lot of chaos connected to it, and I'm not addressing that, but I find that the personal often can translate to the political or the, universal. And the train wreck, I also did a painting called The Accident, which is a piece on my website that's quite from a very long time ago. But these things represent maybe failed relationships, it's the feelings involved in being in the human experience to me are often monumental, and therefore I translate these kind of monumental images that are scenes, dramatic scenes that might conjure some depth of connection that could be, refer to many different things, personal and public.
So let's get into that in a little more. That does make sense, but I'd love to get into that more. I mean, the accident, of course, it's a scene where there's kind of a body there. It looks like there's blood on the body, and there's been an accident, and there's some people watching. It's the kind of scene that, I don't know, maybe we see on social media, maybe not actually those kind of images, but it's the kind of scene you'd see if you were driving by or walking by an accident, and it's disturbing, I mean, train wreck, it's also, as you mentioned, can be personal or political. The first thing that comes to mind to me is that, which in a way seems funny, but is tragic, is the presidency, right? It's a train wreck in the term, in the sense of, we're watching all this self-destruction happen by this kind of madman, but do you mean it in that sense? Because train wreck has a lot of meanings. There's that meaning of, oh my God, we're watching something horrible happen. It could happen in a performance on stage, right? We see a performer missing their lines. We see them getting worse, and it's a train wreck. Do you mean it in that way, or as well in terms of its humor?
Well, I'm not so direct with, making connections with what's going on in the political climate. I'm not, this is an older painting, and it was made before our recent president was elected.
Oh, right. The one that
we're doing. Both of the paintings we're talking about. And I've moved away from, But to answer your question, the humor is that, I mean, what is the humor? It's like, first of all, why would I, to paint something like this is kind of, a tragic comedy. It's like, so tragic that it's almost funny, to see. I mean, it's not realistic, so it's not scary like that. I'm much more of a painterly, impressionistic kind of mark maker. And there's sort of templates, like the edges of this painting are torn, so it's almost like a scroll, like a snapshot in time. And like I said, the work comes from a personal place. Like there's figures in there's obscured dead people in these paintings, So it's about loss, grief, and sort of acknowledging what getting derailed,
right.
Or getting off the road, or accidents, like things that you don't expect, and things that we don't control. So, I don't know. I you know, there's other paintings here that are more recent that are not dramatic accidents. Like I got into this whole thing with caves recently, and then there's a self-portrait on the wall here that's also on muslin and doesn't have any stuffed parts, but it has three panels, and just coincidentally, the two places where the panels are sewn are at my right across my mouth and right across my ankles on the piece. So it's, you know, and I chuckled after the fact, many, you know, long after the fact of making the painting, like, oh, cut off at the ankles and lips are sealed, you know, and this woman who is me in the painting is of a certain age also. And it's called Out of the Attic, which is also, I made it in France, so it has the French Vidigranier, which has a whole story of why it's named that, but there's something about being a woman of a certain age where it feels like I'm actually coming out of the attic. In a, so there's other... from listening to what I'm saying, like there's a lot of analogy and metaphor in my work, and you know, the subtlety of those metaphors are sort of, yeah, they're subtle.
so that's cool. That's fine. And I know it's not easy to talk about either because of that, in a way. So there's two pieces in your studio now, and is that what you're working on, or is there? I know you have two upcoming shows. Without going into that, is there certain themes or canvases that you imagine making for those shows? Like, what is the next? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it's funny because I was just offered a show in September at a gallery called Anna Kaplan Contemporary in Buffalo, which is where I grew up, and where my father is from. My whole family, my father's side of the family, from there, and there are many, there are artists in that background there. And I wrote her a sort of plans, which I had, I start with a really wide breadth of, many artists probably do, you know, with this idea of like many different ideas. And she saw some work of mine that I did at an art fair that were these bundles that I hung from the ceiling, which were sort of soft sculpture. And I had some cave paintings along with them. And we're talking about doing more of those and having all of these things have references, and that the bundles are sort of, you know, I'm interested in like this idea of like what we're all made of and the layers of it, and this spiral, inside outside container.
Let's talk about that bundle, because you mentioned that before, and that's kind of that's kind of a theme, right? There's something. I don't know if it's the same, but even in the painting you're mounting, there's something kind of bundled underneath that sheet, or there's stuffing mm-hmm. there. I don't know if it's the same mm-hmm. thing. What is it? What is your interest in the bundle as it's going to appear in different ways in the coming work? What is the bundle? Is that the body or something else?
Yeah, I mean, it comes from. I mean, 20 years ago, I did hundreds and hundreds of portraits of people. I was sort of making a living doing that, as well as just fascinated by the idea of working from life, and especially children. And this whole thing of like, you know, who we are, who Brainard is, and who Melora is. It's like, you know, I feel like we're like these packages of, you know, we have the inside physical, there's the physical, and then there's just this heritage, you know, there's all this focus now on like, find out 23andMe, you know, find out who we, where, what our genes are. And just this whole idea of influence and, you know, and then there's the idea of technology, like the phone, like this little bundle, you know, and they sell packages, like the AT&T sells a bundle, you know, you get, so this idea, and I did a performance piece that was based on this, which was a long piece of muslin that I made into a bundle by, you know, wrapping it up. And my piece was funny because I was doing it as a commercial. I was trying to sell my bundle, and and you know, a baby is a bundle too, right? But, and we bundle
right.
And when we hug, and there's a lot of connotations of this bundle that interests me and that I can play with. You know, it's kind of a form for play, and I keep gravitating towards scissors and needles, and you know, wanting to cut up. I'm cutting up a lot of my old clothes, and this whole thing of dressing is in fact is interesting to me because I've been ever since I was, you know, little, I was like always put layers of clothes, and now I'm sort of shedding a lot of the clothes and bringing them into the work, like, and it's sort of personal, but nobody needs to know that except all your listeners. but you know, I'm also really enjoying this idea of like building the canvas with material and then going in with the paint, which is like the cherry on top for me because I absolutely love to paint, and bringing that in and sort of, you know, not being careful with it. I very much enjoy not being careful with paint. So there's a kind of a almost like a building up of the canvas right now with this sewing stuff, and then sort of going in, you know, with the liquid. So
and what will be the imagery on those? Like as you I'm glad you talked about that process because the bundle is so curious, and we could go talk about that for a while. What will be, and I know you don't know it yet, but as you approach, I mean, these two shows and in different aspects, what kind of imagery are you exploring or thinking about?
Well, I'm fascinated by everyone's relationship with the internet, the phone, the branding, the, you know, this thing of like identity, you know, like I am these pictures and this is me, and the control everyone has, and this complete, this posture that we're all having with the bent overhead, and, you know, almost as if we're being led around by these little bundles of infinite, you know, information. So I have been stealing some stuff off Instagram. I'm just going to say I'm thieving some imagery off Instagram and sort of transforming some of those images that you would never know by looking at my works. It's so far from the original, but you know, sort of taking other people's this idea of sort of using that and transforming it into this totally different. You know, I seem to gravitate toward the same imagery that has like about light and dark and destruction and cave, sort of scenes. I mean, currently there's four in front of me that I did yesterday that I started to pin up, and one is.
And these are scenes. What you're talking about is. They're imagery from Instagram that you're transforming, but what we're talking about is scenes, almost landscapes that may or may not have caves in them.
Yeah, I did a whole group of caves, and I'm still kind of a cave can be many different things. I mean, it's sort of the bundle and the cave to me are similar because it's like this round, sort of organic shape that has an interior and an exterior, and there's like a dark, safe inner world, and then there's the light maybe that's coming from the outside and a portal to get in and out. But that can relate to even just a room you know, with windows, and which is one of the scenes that I made yesterday. And then there's like, you know, the urban cave of like a building with the light of the moon outside. That's another scene I have here. And then there's two more that are, one is just tree that's fallen across the road at night. And then there's a statue with an angel figure at the top of it. So, you know, I guess the similar thing in the four, now that you have me talking about it, is that there's this light and darkness in all of these. And just, I guess, you know, just being on the photograph, that just capturing these spaces or landscapes, you said, that kind of creates a cave in its own right, which also is like a little theater, you know, a little stage. And of course, the canvas has always been talked about as a stage in a certain way.
Well, which also relates to your, as you were saying, your background or beginnings as a performer continues to be part of your work. At the beginning of the interview, you said that was kind of moving into your work more and more. And I don't know if you meant through performance or kind of in the way that you just said, as canvas, as almost theater, as a kind of vignette.
Yeah. And the bundle is almost a prop. It was a prop in that piece that I mentioned. Yeah, that won't go away, I don't think. That's part of who I am. You know, the set, the costume, the character, the fantasy, the narrative, all of that is really a huge part of my work. And this idea of you know, emotion. There's like a lot of that, I think, really where the truth of, you know, truth is very important to me. Like what I mean, that's a subjective, I guess, but the truth of things and trying to, you know, painting and acting and movement and humor and drama are all such wonderful, more accessible for me ways to communicate.
Right.
And that's why I'm an artist. And that's, you know, I was always paid attention to, you know, or paying attention with, you know, great focus on the, you know, how things are presented.
And the bundle seems, though,
yeah,
I mean, not to move back to it too much, but that also seems, of all the things it represents, there's also a mystery to it, right? What's in that bundle, or what's happening inside that, as well as all the reference to, you know, bundle of joy and you know, so many other things. But it's also a kind of and perhaps that's the darkness, or maybe I'm that's a stretch there, but there's something very mysterious too about the bundle that seems like it could be dark somehow.
Yeah, very perceptive of you. I think, you know, being a woman, I mean, if you look at just the physicality of male, female, you know, that there's, the male could be categorized as sort of more coming, you know, more coming out, there's some of that in the bundle. Like, well, you were referring to the train wreck, and but there's other things here. Like, there's the train station where I have all these people waiting on the platform, and they're all holding bundles, and the bundles are stuffed. So they're tiny figures. It's a very sweet painting, amazing painting. I wish you could see it, but there's, you know, the different packages that they're holding and the child, and they're waiting, or you don't know what they're doing. They're on the platform. But, I mean, like, what is, you know, the connotation of, oh, my God, consumerism, you know? Also, just stuff that we're holding on to. What are we holding on to? You know, why, and what is it? I mean, I don't know about the dark. It also makes you, I mean, I think that it makes you want to touch the painting, which is kind of an interesting, one thing that.
Yeah, I love that feeling. I've done that ever. That's always such a kind of fascinating impulse, and I don't know why, but that feeling of, I'd love you to talk a little more about that. Like, you want to touch the painting, and sometimes it's almost like an involuntary gesture. I mean, the first time I did that, it was almost criminal. I think I was in Spain with my parents in Sevilla, and it was an El Greco painting. And, you know, they have those, like, amazing collars. And, you know, I was, like, 14, and I just, without thinking, like, reached out to touch it. And, of course, the guards flip out and everything. But it was, like, this impulse that was just, like, I have to touch it. I don't know if it was that it didn't seem real, or that it was too real, or the way the paint was thick on there. But you seem like maybe there's a different reason for, in your paintings, wanting to touch. Is it also like what's in that bundle, or is it like the thickness of the paint on there, or how it's painted?
Well, the parts that are stuffed, you know, they come out. I don't know if you get that. They come out from the canvas. So it's natural to want. I'm just, you know, touching it right now. It's like I want to touch that. It's like little, you know, and there's fabric on here, and some of it's velvet. I mean, you do want to, it just makes, you know, it's tactile. It makes, yeah, so I like that idea, actually. This idea, this thing of like, oh, the preciousness of the painting has always been irked me a little bit, you know, that you have to just look, don't touch, you know, how many, like your parents, you know, probably said that to you. At this point, I kind of let, when kids look at my work and I see them, you know, wanting to touch it, I go ahead, touch it, you know. But, yes, I think that, you know, I haven't really thought about this that much, but I think that there's something to that which has to do with the theater interest, which is like I almost want to have, you know, I like the idea of bringing the audience or the person really in to the work, communicating in a more untraditional way. I mean, the bundles are also soft. It's kind of an interesting dichotomy of like it coming out, but it's like soft, and you know, maybe there's something in that.
That's interesting.
The stitching too. It's really, you know, methodical, kind of uneven, and repairing. Of course, comes. I mean, other artists some are doing this kind of thing now, and we're all, I think, talking about the same similar things, like this idea of repair or slowing down, and so
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. So you have two shows coming up. I mean, that's exciting. There's lots of work to do, and of course, in the interview, there'll be links and images so listeners can see some of what we're talking about. Let me ask you one more question, which I always ask: what are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious.
Well, Mary Oliver died last week ago or 2 weeks ago, and I picked up a couple of her books and have been reading her poems because I wasn't that familiar. And I've been listening to a book on tape called Red Clocks by Lenny Zumis, which is about a sort of a futuristic, has to do with pregnancy. It's kind of creepy, but very interesting. And I'm reading Well Behaved Women Seldom Make History by Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, which is a book someone gave me. And she said it was the only book in the Metropolitan Museum that written by a woman. And I'm reading The Path of Individual Liberation by Shogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, which is edited by Judy Leaf, which is fantastic material. And I'm also reading Man with the Blue Scarf by Martin Gayford, which is about Lucian Freud's, a painting that Lucian Freud is making of him, a portrait, which is really beautiful. The book is and I'm also, I'm reading a lot of books.
I like that.
Conversations with Maris Monk. I've worked with her a little bit, and she is amazing. And I have a stack of books that I want to read.
Very good. Well, I look forward to yeah, good. That's a good amount of reading. Go on. Yeah, you.
Oh, a painter. My parents are actors, and they, you know, I grew up with around artists. And a friend of theirs, named Paul Matthews, died last week, also. And he wrote a book called "Now the Day Is Over." Anyway, and he's an amazing painter that influenced a lot of these people. Like, influenced me when I was growing up, you know, and supported my. You know, gave me it was good to have adult influence, you know, artists that were adults that were doing it.
Absolutely.
So read that book that he wrote.
Very good. Well, Melora, I want to thank you for talking with me today, and wish you success on your next two shows.
Thank you. Thank you, Brainerd. It's great talking to you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.